It's the GeoQuiz podcast. I'm David LaValle. All right, let's not mess around. I'm going straight to the clues. We're looking for a marginal sea. It's part of the vast blue Pacific Ocean. This patch of sea is sizable. It's about 1.5 million square miles. It spreads out south of China, east of the Malay Peninsula, and extends as far as the Philippines. There's a long list of territorial disputes over this sea, as well as over many uninhabited islands in this sea, over such things as mineral resources and oil drilling, but we won't go there. Just wanting to come up with the name of this sea. Now, the geography of this sea I asked about comes up in a legislative battle that's going on in Washington, of all places, a political battle that has to do with a little-known chapter of the Vietnam War. Back in 1969, a U.S. Navy destroyer, the USS Frank E. Evans, was operating off the coast of Vietnam as part of an anti-submarine task force. But in the early morning darkness of June 3, 1969, the ship was cruising 650 miles southwest of Manila, making its way to Subic Bay in the Philippines to rearm. It was in the South China Sea. That's the answer. And that's where it collided with an Australian aircraft carrier, the Melbourne. The Australian ship ripped the American naval destroyer in two. Only the stern section remained floating. It was a terrible accident. 74 U.S. soldiers lost their lives. So here's the thing. There's a bill in Washington making its way through Congress. Actually, it's already been approved in the House of Representatives, but it's not yet a done deal. It calls for honoring the lost 74 by adding the sailors' names to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington. Steve Krause has been devoted to getting that recognition for the lost 74, and if you ask me, he makes a compelling case because he was there on the deck that early morning of June 1969 when something went terribly wrong.
I was the signalman of the watch, and we had been doing a specific zigzag pattern all night in a darkened ship exercise. So I went to spot the Melbourne, that's the aircraft carrier, off our starboard aft section, and I didn't see him there. So we continued to kind of make a broad starboard turn, and I figured, well, If we were coming around, I'd probably pick him up on the port side. So I went around to the port side, and I looked kind of straight out and looked aft, and I still didn't see him. And even though it was, you know, completely darkened ship, you still can spot the image, you know, on the horizon. So I came around toward the front of the bridge area. It's over the bridge, in front of the gun director, and I could see the carrier was coming straight for us. You know, instinct told me that they were that close that we were going to get hit. So I ran into the signal bridge and I hit the control buttons that went straight to the pilot house. And I said, we're going to get hit. And right about that time, we got hit. We were doing a really full rudder turn at the time we got hit. I was inside this little shack, which is, you know, enough for about two people to stand inside. And it took the ship, you know, completely sideways and over on its side. Of course, it knocked me down inside the shack. And at the same, you know, it was all at the same time. I was actually just starting to go back outside the shack, and the shack door slammed shut. My thumb was caught in the latch. I pulled it out. And the ship then was laying flat sideways with the door down in the water. I knew immediately that this wasn't right. The impact was so bad that the recorder that was with me, he was catapulted up onto the flight deck of the carrier. And that's where the right where I'm at on the ship and where he's at is right about where the flight deck came through. And then as the ship bobbed, it kind of started to right itself, then the water was already coming in the shack door, so I just swam away.
It's just a terrible thing that happened. Tell us how many people had been on the ship and how many survived.
Well, we had 278 men, and then we lost 74, And then there were five that were off the ship, either on leave or a couple were over on the Kearsarge getting medical attention. So that leaves you, 198 that actually survived.
Did anyone on the Australian aircraft carrier die?
No. I guess I've explained to people it's like a semi-truck, you know, running through a little Fiat or something like that.
Were you the last to be pulled out of the water?
No, I wasn't the last. I was in the water for probably about 45 minutes, but I swam way, way away from the ship. In fact, when things stopped and I couldn't see, you know, couldn't see the carrier by the time they stopped and I couldn't see, I swam back to where I could hear some people yelling. And it happened to be the officer of the deck and the junior officer of the deck. They were floating on a wooden deck board. And I swam up to it and then held on to that. And we were picked up by a motor whale boat. So they were very prompt in the rescue effort.
So the Australian aircraft carrier, which rammed into you, they also assisted in the rescue?
They actually picked up everyone that was rescued.
It's just an amazing story. Why has it taken so long for the Pentagon and Congress to consider the casualties from that awful accident to be on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial?
Well, when the memorial was, designed and all of the criteria was developed for the inclusion of names on that, certain instructions were written. And those instructions were specific that in order to be on the wall that you had to have incurred a casualty based in an actual fight, in a war-type fight, and you had to be within the defined combat zone for that to occur. And those were the initial list. Then, shortly after that, President Reagan asked the Congress to reevaluate its criteria because there was a couple specific incidents where people had died directly as a result of being in combat, and the one that I'm going to address is the one that we refer to. There were 68 Marines that had been on R&R. They had left Da Nang and flew to Hong Kong and did their R&R, and it's a 10-day R&R. And then the air flight that was taking them back to Da Nang crashed on takeoff from Hong Kong, and all of them were killed. So those names were one of the first large lots that were added to the wall. Now, we felt, as we've done research, and this wouldn't have started until probably the end of the 90s, because, you know, basically we didn't have a real active association until the mid-90s. And then we didn't get into this issue because basically we didn't know that their names weren't on the wall. We didn't find it out until all of a sudden we ran across relatives who said, hey, I'd been to the wall and my son's not there. And that we started to ask the questions why. And the answer has been always the same from the DOD that, hey, you weren't in the defined combat zone and it wasn't an action resulting from combat injury.
But you were in the South China Sea. The USS Frank Evans was in the South China Sea near Vietnam, just not in this particular perimeter. But your ship had contributed to the war effort.
Right. There was a huge offensive. It was called Operation Daring Rebel that occurred in the month of May, in which we provided gunfire support. We had left that to go to Subic Bay to rearm, and then the collision occurred. So, you know, we were performing support. We left the combat zone, and all intents and purposes afterwards, we would have been going directly back to the combat zone. So that's been our case. And, we think we have a good shot.
And Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel, of course, is a Vietnam veteran. It sounds like there's a good chance this will pass. What would it mean to you personally to go to the memorial and see the names of those you lost?
It will be a very joyous day for something that was a terrible tragedy. But I've, you know, been involved with the, you know, the mothers, the fathers, the brothers, the sisters for years. And I see their pain. They don't have a closure. And they feel slighted that, hey, you know, my brother's not recognized or my son's not recognized as all the other people that died for this war. So it will be, you know, a very joyous occasion. And it's sometimes, you know, we think, okay, you know, all of the no's, but the one yes will wipe all of that away. And we know that we will have done this for the 74, and we know that they will be, you know, commemorated as they just so deserve.
That's Steve Krause, a survivor of the USS Frankie Evans disaster in the South China Sea. He's hoping the House-approved legislation to honor the Lost 74 will soon sail through Congress and gain the support of the U.S. Secretary of Defense. I've posted more links to other survivors' accounts of what happened in the South China Sea that morning in 1969 at pri.org/geoquiz, and I tweet at geoquiz. Thanks for listening.